Wisconsin's recall vote. End of a fantasy. A backlash against the state's feisty conservatives fizzles out.
In a neighbourhood of double garages and tightly cropped lawns, a woman stops her car in the middle of the road and leaps out to tell Randy Hopper, her state senator, how strongly she supports the reforms he and other Republican legislators have championed in Wisconsin. There were not enough such voters to save Mr. Hopper, who was turfed out of office in the middle of his term in a recall election this week. But there were enough of them to deny Democrats the majority they were seeking in the state Senate, and to dampen hopes on the left that aggrieved public sector workers could restore their electoral fortunes nationwide next year. In February, the Republicans who controlled the state legislature had tried to push through a budget repair bill, which aimed to reduce spending in part by severely restricting collective bargaining for the public sector. Government employees were to be stripped of any say in their benefits, while their pay in future would rise no faster than the Consumer Price Index. The Democratic minority in the Senate, lacking the votes to block the bill, instead fled the state, depriving the chamber of a quorum. It was only after the Republicans worked out a parliamentary manoeuvre to get around the quorum requirement and pass the collective bargaining reforms 3 weeks later that they returned, vowing to use every means at their disposal to avenge the Republican assault on labour. One of those tools is recall elections, which Wisconsin allows for any public official, provided that they are at least a year into their current term and enough voters sign a petition. The main object of the Democrats' ire, Governor Scott Walker, had been elected barely 3 months prior to the beginning of the row, as had all of the state representatives and half of the state senators. They cannot yet be recalled. So the Democrats focused instead on recalling the 8 Republican senators over a year into their terms who'd voted for the reforms. The Republicans, not to be outdone, decided to try to recall 8 Democratic senators who'd absconded. The Democrats only managed to drum up enough signatures to force 6 of the Republicans to face the voters again on August 9th. Had they won 3 of those races, they would have gained control of the Senate, which would have allowed them to stymie any new Republican initiatives they disliked. In the end, however, they won only 2. Moreover, 2 Democrats face recalls of their own next week, which could conceivably take the 2 parties back to square one. The Democrats argue that it was a victory simply to get sufficient numbers of voters worked up enough to force the recall elections in the first place. The Republican senators whom they took on were last elected in 2008, a good year for Democrats, so they were always going to be hard to dislodge. There clearly has been a small swing in the Democrats' favour since 2008, and a bigger one relative to their dire showing in 2010. But their failure to win a more sweeping victory, nevertheless, puts paid to their claim that a clear majority of ordinary Wisconsinites find the governor's agenda too extreme. What all this means for the rest of the country is unclear, to say the least. The dispute has definitely riled many in Wisconsin. Turnout was much higher than in most special elections, but it was still lower than in a typical presidential year. That makes it hard to infer anything much about next year's elections, when voters are likely to be more numerous, but perhaps less inflamed. One thing seems certain, however. The Democratic fantasy of an irresistible leftward swing among voters outraged by Republican extremism is just that.